I'm really pleased to introduce to you today two really fantastic poets, because I think translating poetry is also the job of a poet. I'd like to start with Tadeusz Dąbrowski, who is a poet, an essayist, and a critic, editor of the literary bimonthly Topos, and he's published in many magazines in Poland and beyond. He's also published four collections of poetry, and five of the poems that Antonia is going to read to you today she sent to me earlier, and I can say that I nearly missed my breakfast because I was reading them so avidly. They are remarkable, and there's one particularly which you've got to listen out for about a lock keeper, which is really, really special. Sorry, that was a bit of a spoiler, I'm very sorry. Really remarkable poems, and I actually immediately thought, I wonder if I can put these in modern poetry and translation. Antonia Lloyd-Jones is a really eminent and an incredibly prolific translator of Polish literature, and she's translated masses of stuff from fiction to non-fiction, children's poetry, a beautiful translation of The Locomotive by Julian Tuwim, which I've just read and published, which is really, really something. I really recommend it. And most recently, of course, some poetry by Tadeusz, but Antonia asked me to say that she isn't actually a translator of poetry. I do feel this is I haven't read.
It's an accident, you know.
An accidental translator of poetry, but a really, really superb one. So I know this is going to be a really fantastic session, and I hope you'll join with me to welcome Tadeusz and Antonia.
Thank you very much.
Well, I've never thought of myself as a translator of poetry, and I kind of, rather by accident, ended up translating a few poems on behalf of the Polish Book Institute as part of a big catalogue promoting Polish literature abroad, including three of Tadeusz's poems, and afterwards noticed that I'd completely missed a pun and messed up the whole point of this poem. I was thinking, oh, well, it's lucky I don't do that really often. And then he contacted me out of the blue and said, I would be very much like you to translate my poetry. And I said, what do you mean? I'm not a poetry translator and I'm rubbish at it, as you can see. He said, no. And I said, well, all right, if you insist. And so...
But you like my stuff, or you feel only obliged? Because because you're paid.
There is that as a translator. No, I don't really translate anything that I don't think I feel. And I wouldn't have agreed if I hadn't felt that I cared about the poetry and that it spoke to me. And the very, very, very few poets.
But only because of my charm, or because of my poems.
Well, I met the poetry first.
Okay.
Perhaps if it had been in the other way around, I might not be sitting here. But anyway, so what happened was that I said, quite in my usual bossy way, I said, "Well, I'll translate these poems, but I'm not going to sell them or do the running around for you." So Tadeusz was fine about this, and we met and. We developed a way of working, which was that at the time you knew less English, but I learned that even without knowing English very well, Tadeusz has an extremely strong instinct about his own work. So he could sometimes say to me, well, don't you think the comma should be here? And I'd say, and then I think, oh, yes, actually, that's a good idea. So I've learned to trust you.
I'm extremely tiring in cooperation with my translators because I'm asking 100 questions, but I feel even if one question of 100 questions can help the poem and can make it better, it's worth to ask. And Antonia accepted it, and I'm very proud of it that you're not boring with me. And
what are you going to do when you're translated into Chinese? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Nothing.
You're going to learn Chinese.
Then I can only trust, yeah.
But anyway, and then suddenly I started having all these checks come through the letterbox, and I thought, what's this? And these poems were being published in journals, and I was being paid. So I thought we could read some poems by introducing them, as it were, thematically, although it's quite hard to separate your poetry into specific themes, but in a very general way we can kind of corral them into behaving for the reading by talking about themes. So in fact what you were just saying is very apt, because one of the thematic features in your poetry is very much what language does and how a poet uses language. And so we can illustrate that with a poem which is...
Yeah, there's this one, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so he's going to read in Polish and then I'll read in English.
That's a very banal poem. It's a perfect stop for creative writing courses because it's about the difference between reality and language, so nothing new. But I like this poem. It's pretty clever done. And we're going to read... I read it in Polish, yeah?
You read it in Polish, yeah. And then I'll read it in English.
Okay. Słowo jabłko nie zawiera sobie żadnej prawdy o jabłku. Podobnie jak jego kształt, kolor, zapach i smak. Prawda nie jest do oglądania, wąchania i smakowania. Mówiąc jabłko, zaledwie zjadasz. W przestrzeni między słowem jabłko a prawdą jabłka dzieje się jabłko. Przestrzeń między słowem śmierć a prawdą śmierci jest największa. W niej dzieje się życie. Między słowem prawda a prawdą dzieje się śmierć.
The word apple doesn't contain any truth about an apple, just like its shape, color, smell, and taste. The truth isn't for inspecting, sniffing, or tasting. In saying apple, you're hardly eating one. In the space between the word apple and the truth of an apple happens. The space between the word death and the truth of death is the greatest. Within it, life happens. Between the word truth and the truth, what happens is death. So, and then another example of your fondness for playing with words and with text.
Yeah, I try to not play with words because I'm thinking about my American and British career, and I'm catching myself, you know, when I'm writing poem, it's a kind of illness, you know. I'm thinking about how it could be translated into English.
Please. Leave that to me.
So that's my private war against postmodernism. The title is identical with the title of the translation of Roland Barthes' famous book, A Lover's Discourse Fragments. And yeah. I don't know why it was my wife's favorite poem, but yeah, now I'm divorcing with my wife, so it will be clear. Fragmenty dyskursu miłosnego. Nakryłem ją, gdy przeglądała pismo pornograficzne. Wskazując palcem na zdjęcie nagiego mężczyzny, zapytałem, co to? Sesyjny poem Pip, odpowiedziała, biorąc mnie w nawias swoich nóg. A dziś wróciłem wcześniej z pracy i w korytarzu wpadłem na nagiego mężczyznę. Zapytałem, co to? Wskazując na niego, a raczej na jego męskość ze świeżym śladem szminki. To jest fajka. Usłyszałem odpowiedź kobiety, z którą wciąż sypiam, bo nie potrafię udowodnić jej zdrady. It's a very bittersweet poem.
Okay. A lover's discourse fragment. I caught her in the act of looking through a porn mag. Pointing at a picture of a naked man, I asked her, what is that? Ceci n'est pas une pipe, she answered me, taking me into the bracket of her legs. And today, I came home early from work, and in the passage, I bumped into a naked man and asked, what is that? Pointing at him, or rather at his manhood, freshly smeared in lipstick. That is a pipe, I heard the answer from the woman, with whom I'm still sleeping, because I cannot prove her infidelity. And that brings us on to another, what could be said to be a thematic feature of your work, which is the body, the corporeal, in many senses.
Sorry for this thematic scale, because there are no themes in poetry.
No.
The theme in poetry is only some kind of excuse. It's kind of, it's like in music. It's to express something which is unexpressible. So, but we need to organize it anyway. So, yeah.
Well, will you read us this to show how you try to express another of your anxious moments?
I grew up in a strongly Catholic family, and I've done, during my studies, everything to be a bad boy. visiting some go-go strip clubs, and that's the point about it, about this smell of dirty women. It's really, it's plastered, you know, on your hand, and you can, you're not able to wash it out. Yeah.
Przeniosłem cię niechcący na rękach z klubu go-go wprost do mojego łóżka i dokładnie wtarłem w pościel. Więc teraz, ilekroć budzę się, zasypiam albo śnię, staje mi niezawodnie, przed oczami pastelowy obraz roztrzęsionych piersi i za każdym razem czuję rozkoszny ból, jakbym miał w nosie sumienie. Postanowiłem z tym skończyć i spryskałem pościel perfumami mojej mamy. Rozpacz ogarnęła mnie, gdy okazało się, że to ten sam zapach, coś jak jabłuszko. Od tamtej pory, leżąc w łóżku, czuję się jednocześnie i dobry, i zły.
I carried you unintentionally in my arms from a go-go club straight into my bed and thoroughly rubbed you into the bedclothes. So now hardly do I awake, fall asleep or dream than without fail before my eyes stands a pastel image of quivering breasts. And every single time I feel a delicious pain, as if I don't give a sniff about conscience. I decided to be done with it and sprayed the bedclothes with a perfume that's my mother's. Despair came over me when it turned out to be the very same scent, something like apple. Ever since, when lying in bed, I feel at the same time both good and bad. This is a good example of a poem where, as a translator, I felt the impossibility of certain things and felt I'd lost something, which is the endless frustration of translating poetry. Because the word here for an apple is different from in the earlier poem, yabłuszko. It's a diminutive of the word for an apple, and it's the word used for the scent of an apple on, you know, how we have flavors and scents on perfumes. And it's yabłko, like in the Garden of Eden, an apple. But there's something extra put in by that diminutive, making it even more innocent and harmless, which it isn't. Okay, another one, dwelling on the corporeal, let us say. You are, you devil.
Oh, that's a poem.
Tell us about this.
Yeah, that's a poem, you know. I was trying many times to come back to my lovers from the past, and it doesn't work out to refresh some previous relationships, and that's a poem about it. And it's also about my middle age crisis I started to feel after 30. Really, I don't know why it came so fast, so quickly. Na wszystko za późno, na nic za wcześnie. Znowu niespodziewanie spotkamy się po latach. Będziemy z premedytacją mieszać piwo i wino z wódką, by w środku nocy jeździć rowerami po osiedlu, niespodziewanie uderzając w wysokie krawężniki, tratując klomby, tnąc policzki o wyrosłe niespodziewanie gałęzie, by niespodziewanie powrócić i prowadząc zwichrowane rowery przyjść do mnie, by opatrzyć rany, a potem położyć je spać, by rano kopulować niespodziewanie jak zwierzęta, ze strachu, że powróci niespodziewanie coś, co czuliśmy przed laty, kopulując jak ludzie. Yeah, it's so nice to come back to my previous. That's my book.
Actually, okay. Mine.
You know, sometimes I can't recognize myself, you know, through my. If you buy this, you know, this book is gathering together my poems from last 10 years. So if you buy it, you can check if I've developed if I'm only epigone of myself.
Can I let them know what you were like 10 years ago? I don't think you've developed in the least bit. Speaking of someone who's known you. Too late for anything, too early for nothing. Unexpectedly, we'll meet again years later. Quite on purpose, we'll mix beer and wine with vodka, ride bikes in the middle of the night around the estate, unexpectedly bumping into the high curbstones, trampling flower beds, cutting our cheeks on branches sprung up unexpectedly, then unexpectedly fall over and pushing our warped bicycles, come to my place, then dress our wounds, later lie down to sleep. In the morning, copulate unexpectedly like animals, out of fear that something will unexpectedly return that we felt years ago when we copulated like humans. you've gone backwards, actually. But also, that brings us on to... Well, if we're trying to miserably reduce poetry to themes, which, of course, as you say, is idiotic, existential issues, one could say that just about all poetry is about what's the point of it all and what are we doing here? And I think that does come up in your work. So, could you read page 93?
Mm-hmm. 93, yeah. I'm not so narcissistic to remind which poem is located
on a
particular page.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Yes. So that's the second poem about this middle-age crisis. It generally is a poem about my problems with the sense of time and with these times we are living in. Przegapiłem swój moment. A jak go nie przegapić, czytając w internecie jutrzejszą prasę, słysząc piosenki białych karłów rocka, którzy udają supernowę, widząc jak tsunami sprzed lat nadal pochłania te same wioski, a wie, że World Trade Center co noc w pośpiechu odbudowuje się po to, by mogły leniwie runąć ze dnia. No powiedz, jak nie przegapić swojego momentu w świecie, w którym jedna gazeta ukazuje się w czterech wersjach, postępowej, umiarkowanej i bez tekstu. W czasach, gdy niewykorzystane minuty przechodzą na następny miesiąc, przegapiłem swój moment, kiedy, gdzie. A może to on przegapił mnie, zniknął za horyzontem, roztył się nieskończenie. I czeka.
Do you feel something nice when I read in Polish? Any Slavonic spirit or what? That's very interesting. What do you feel? What's your first impression when you hear Polish, when you listen to Polish? What's that?
Uh-huh. Somebody
whispers in
your ear.
Mm. Is it funny? No. Yeah. No. Existential.
I'll read the poem.
Sorry.
I missed my moment. And how could I fail to miss it? Reading tomorrow's news on the internet, hearing songs by the white dwarves of rock pretending to be supernovas. Seeing how a tsunami from years ago keeps on engulfing the same old villages and the World Trade Center towers are hurriedly rebuilt by night in order languidly to tumble by day. So tell me, how could I not miss my moment in a world where the same paper comes out in four versions, conservative, progressive, moderate, and without text, in times when the unused minutes pass on to the next month? I missed my moment. When? Where? Or maybe it missed me, vanished over the horizon, fattened infinitely, and is waiting. And then the poem that Sasha mentioned earlier is also, I think, sort of very generally speaking, existential. So perhaps you'd read us that one, please.
Yeah, that's the poem opening my last Polish collection. And it's a nature poem, when we are talking about themes, a nature poems about my childhood landscapes when I grew up. And that's strange. I feel not very comfortable when the nature come to my poetry because I feel even older, you know. Because, you know, if the poet starts to write about the nature, it's something dangerous, you know. I spent a lot of time for the residences in Scandinavia, and all the poets, Scandinavian poets, write about the nature. So I decided to do the same, to try the same, to open the door for the prestigious Scandinavian residences to be a part of this company. So that's a poem about about the landscape, about the village when I grew up, and it's entitled Poem Without Mystery. And I'm really proud that I wrote a poem without mystery, hoping that there is any mystery inside still.
Wiersz bez tajemnicy. Być sobie na żuławach operatorem śluzy na mało istotnym odcinku kanału pośrodku płaskiego krajobrazu. Codziennie jeździć rowerem do betonowej budki mniejszej niż kiosk ruchu. Obserwować przez kwadratowe okienko wschody i zachody słońca. Nie mieć pojęcia o sztuce. Wiedzieć, gdzie czają się szczupaki, a gdzie węgorze. W pewien mglisty poranek, popijając herbatę ze spirytusem, usłyszeć w radiu, które odbiera tylko jedną stację, że na świecie żyje ponad 10 milionów gatunków roślin i zwierząt i nie dać temu wiary. Albo, że są takie kraje, gdzie ludzie umierają z głodu i zamyślić się nad tym i zapomnieć spuścić śluzę i zalać kilka pobliskich łąk i nie ponieść za to żadnych konsekwencji.
Poem without mystery. Oh, to be a lock keeper in Jouave on a non-essential branch of the canal. Amid a flat landscape. Every day, to ride a bike to a concrete cabin smaller than a news kiosk, to watch through a little square window the risings and settings of the sun, to have no idea about art, to know where the pike lurks, where the eels. On a misty morning, drinking tea with a dash of spirit, to hear on the radio, which only gets one channel, that in the world, there are over 10 million species of plants and animals, and not to believe it, or that there are countries where people are dying of hunger, and to think about it, and forget to open the sluice, and flood several nearby meadows, and not bear any consequences for it. And then, oh, reincarnatio. There's another one which could be incredibly loosely said to be about existence.
Yeah. Now we are turning in my new stuff. This poem was written in New York. Black boy was looking at me from posters because he was wanted and...
Wanted or missing?
Yeah, missing.
Missing.
Yeah. Where is that? Oh, yeah. So, it's entitled Reincarnation, and it's dedicated in memory of, because I, of course, I don't know the name of this guy. Czarny chłopiec patrzy na mnie od miesiąca z przystanków metra i witryn sklepowych. Rośnie nagroda za jego odnalezienie i spada jakoś zdjęć. Na początku były kolorowe, teraz wiszą wszędzie ksera wyciśnięte z umierającego tonera. Nieczytelne jest nawet jego imię. Ma pecha, że urodził się czarny, bo pisany mu tusz kończy się szybciej. Na ostatnich odbitkach jest całkiem podobny do mnie.
Reincarnation in memory of... The black boy has been looking at me for a month from subway stations and storefront windows. The reward for finding him is rising, and the photo quality is falling. At the start, they were in colour. Now there are photocopies everywhere, squeezed out of dying toner. Even his name is illegible by now. He's unlucky he was born black, because the ink destined for him runs out faster. On the very last printouts, he looks quite like me. Something else that's the quality of your poetry, alongside all the ladies rubbed into the bedclothes, is dear old God, who is never very far away. Your Catholic origins seem to me to be inescapable. And sometimes your poems remind me of sort of rather twisted prayers. And I was just hoping we could fit in a couple of examples of that, because it shows another aspect. Mm. So, please, could we read this one?
So, as you can notice, I write religious poetry and pornographic poetry. only to have a chance to meet different girls through my poetry, so I try to be flexible and, you know, looking at the audience. Religious is a very problematic stuff, and as I said, I grew up in a Catholic family, and I had this need to find myself in this tradition, and, you know, fighting against it. Or today is Sunday, so I missed the mass again. That's not nice. I have a bad conscience. Bóg nie odsunął się, jak chciała Simone Weil, na gigantyczną odległość, ale jest tuż obok, tak blisko, że wyczuwam jego troskliwą nieobecność, która jest przemilczanym słowem, zaniechanym gestem, zawieszonym wzrokiem, zatrzymanym na chwilę oddechem. Ten bezdech to twoje życie.
God has not retired, as Simone Weil would have it, a huge distance away, but he's right here, so close that I can feel his caring non-presence, which is a word passed over in silence, an aborted gesture, a suspended gaze, a breath held for a moment. That's not breathing, that's your life. And then there's another one which seems to me to be kind of ideal prayer, which is...
Boże, wielka niezgrabo, znów chciałeś rozładować korek i zderzyły się cztery tiry. Nie zdążyłeś kichając zasłonić ust i huragan spustoszył Florydę. Nie dziw się, że część z nas chodzi na co dzień w zbroi, spoza której nie widać siebie. Czasem ja się obawiam, czy w swoich wielkich palcach przeniesiesz mnie żywego na tamten świat.
O God, you great bungler. You tried to unblock the traffic again, and four big lorries crashed. You failed in sneezing to shield your mouth, and a hurricane has ravaged Florida. Don't be surprised if part of us goes about all day in armor that makes you impossible to see. Sometimes I too am afraid you'll carry me off in your great big fingers, alive to the other world. And then you were saying how you've been on residencies, and I often notice this with the writers that I translate from Polish, that they get more and more successful and they start traveling, they start going to festivals abroad, and I see all this creeping into their work, all these influences of places that they've been sent to promote their work. And I in fact was with Tadeusz the first time he went to New York, and we stayed in a hotel in Chinatown with a whole bunch of Polish poets and their translators. And it was a rather comical week, as he said. And we were in New York, and we were also in Boston, and that will come up in the poetry in a minute. And so I was quite amazed by Tadeusz, because there we were in Chinatown, and I kind of, like a good little girl, went off to bed at night and came down to breakfast the next day. And he had walked the length and breadth of Manhattan in the night and was full of amazing stories and images. What can you tell us a bit about your New York?
Yeah, you know, walking helps poetry, you know. I'm not a poet of a place. There are some poets addicted with place, you know, sucking their juices, poetry juices, from the place. And I feel that my place is a movement, it's crossing borders, I don't know. All my poetry come from between situations, you know. If you have this weather between sun and storm, that's the most impressive moment, when the first drop of rain is landing on your nose, and then you feel that, that life is worth to live, and
only in movement, only in travels, only meeting new people and changing landscapes, I can feel productive. Mm. That's why I spend the whole night exploring Manhattan while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
What is Stuhl? Stuhl, yeah. Rats.
I feel that this poem has a sort of New York-y influence to it, but I don't know how much you would agree.
It's a theme again. Yeah, it's a poem about every big, huge city.
It could be anywhere.
Yeah. You remember the page now?
Я не вимпорто.
Okay. Jestem... seven. Simply seven. Jestem jednym z 10 milionów szczurów w tym mieście. Codziennie przemykam kanałami, nie wiem po co. Może tylko po to, by znaleźć jakąś szczurzycę, do której mógłbym się przytulić i na chwilę zapomnieć, że jestem szczurem. Czasami spotykam szczury, które mówią: daj spokój, nie bądź szczurem, bądź sobą. Mają amputowane ogony albo dyskretnie wpuszczają je w nogawkę, golą futro. A wychodząc na powierzchnię, stają na tylnych łapach i zadzierają nosa. Zastanawiam się, kto nas karmi, kto rozsypuje trutki, rozstawia pułapki i jaki ma w tym interes. Przecież i tak byśmy się rozmnażały i zdychały.
I am one of 10 million rats in this city. Every day I sneak along the sewers. I don't know what for. Maybe just to try to find some she-rat whom I could cuddle up to and forget for a while that I'm a rat. All the time I keep running into rats who say, give it a break, don't be a rat, be yourself. They have amputated tails, or they discreetly tuck them in a pant leg. They shave their fur. And when they go out onto the surface, they stand on their hind paws and stick their noses in the air. I wonder who it is that feeds us, who scatters the poison and sets the traps, and what's in it for him. For even so, we'd keep on multiplying and croaking. And then there's another side to the US travel and the experiences.
Yeah, there. That's a poem written at the same time in 2009. I had the honor to be a guest to read at Harvard University.
Yes.
And there was a pretty small audience, like 10 guys. And just in front of me, there was an emeritus professor who started to snore before I started to read and woke up at the applause. And, you know, reading my older stuff, I was thinking all the time, what this guy come for and in which spaces, mental spaces, she's traveling during my reading. So it's a kind of reconstruction of his state of mind or soul. Emerytowany profesorze Harvardu, dziękuję, że przyszedłeś na moje spotkanie, choć miałeś do wyboru tyle innych atrakcji. Na górze czytał Szalamun, Pamuk 2 domy dalej. Dziękuję, że przyszedłeś, że zacząłeś chrapać, zanim zacząłem czytać i obudziłeś się na brawach. Wspaniale było patrzeć, jak zapadasz się w fotel. Jak się zanurzasz w wody płodowe snu, odżywiając się moją metaforą przez niewidzialną pępowinę. A może wychodziłeś w tym czasie na kosmiczny spacer, w kombinezonie słowiańskiej mowy, chroniącym cię przed próżnią. Lub nic ci się nie śniło. Byłeś zwyczajnie sobą po wylewie, a ja ci utrzymywałem w poetyckiej śpiączce. Nie wiem, w każdym razie dziękuję, że przyszedłeś. Ważniejsza była dla mnie twoja obecność niż twoja nieobecność.
Harvard Professor Emeritus, thank you for coming to my reading. Though you had so many other attractions to choose from. Upstairs, Shalamun was speaking. Panuk, two doors down. Thank you for coming. Although you started to snore before I started to read and you woke up again at the applause, it was wonderful to watch you sinking into your chair, plunging into the amniotic fluid of sleep, nourishing yourself on my metaphors through an invisible umbilicus. Or maybe in the meantime you were out on a cosmic walk, wearing a spacesuit of Slavonic speech, protecting you from the void. Or else you had no dreams at all. You were your usual self after a stroke, and I was keeping you alive in a poetic coma. I don't know. In any case, thank you for coming. What mattered more to me was your presence than your absence. It's quite funny. And then, can you tell us a bit about this wonderful poem, which seems to me to cover just about everything that there is to cover?
That's perhaps the longest poem I ever wrote. It's the whole page. I'm the master of quick stuff, and that's really long. And this poem was inspired by my visit in Walmart shop in the U.S., which looks like, oh, Jesus. It's like, yeah, Tesco in Poland, comparing with Walmart. It looks like,
tiny.
Yeah, newspaper kiosk. It's nothing. So I was, exploring this shop something like 10 hours, and unexpectedly I found poetry inside there. And I realized that poetry in this place is really necessary for our life and so important. So I created a poem about, pretty serious poem, I hope funny at the same time, about how poetry changed my life. Yeah, in this book, in this store. That's crazy. And yeah, there is a title taken from Bible, Nothing Was Made, from Genesis. Yeah, or from...
I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, do you remember Bible? Some... Catholic question. So it's Nothing Was Made.
I read it
in Polish, yeah. But if it's too long, if it's too boring for you, because there are no Polish-speaking people in the audience, I think. Or?
Do you want to hear
are there
in
any?
Polish?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nic się nie stało. Tu, gdzie sarny, niedźwiedzie, wiewiórki i dziki pełne oczu z przodu i z tyłu przebiegają ci przez pościel. Gdzie bezsennie przemierzasz supermarkety, które czekają na ciebie przez całą dobę, by sprzedać ci 5 galonów piwa, kilogramową paczkę chipsów dla dwojga, party box prezerwatyw w największym rozmiarze. Iluzorycznie podobny do oryginału strój Batmana, a nawet koszulę w kształcie plastra bekonu. Gdzie samochody wielkości kombajnów koszą twój sen o ucieczce w głusze wraz z dzikimi zwierzętami i zdziczałymi ludźmi. Gdzie skacząc po kanałach przemierzasz czas, kolejne wzwody i zachody słońca. Poznajesz kobiety o wytatuowanych tęczówkach i duszach jak Nagasaki po kontakcie z Fatmanem albo najnowszy iPhone. Tutaj, w połowie swojego życia, bo zawsze jesteś w połowie, słyszysz nagle jak zamarzają ceny. Lodówkom i bezdomnym przestaje burczeć w brzuchach. Nowotworom i politykom nie chce się więcej mnożyć oczywistości. Zmarli nie boją się o stan konta w kolejce do kasy. Tatuaże wybuchają na niebie, które przymyka swoje ślepe oko na wybryki chmur i nastolatków w akademikach. Kula zamachowca zawisa w powietrzu i jeszcze nie jest śmiertelna. Myśl zastyga między synapsami. I oto zjawia się poezja. I pcha do ucieczki jelenia tuż przed maską twojego auta. Jabłku każe zerwać się z gałęzi. Światłu zakiełkować i rozsadzić łupinę nocy. Mężowi pomyśleć o żonie. Żona, it's wife. O żonie w trakcie masturbacji. Samolotom dolecieć, a pieszym dojść do celu. Bogu uczynić kilka cudów, kłamcy ponownie wygrać wybory, poecie religijnemu napisać dobry wiersz. Nikt jej nie widział, lecz bez niej nic się nie stało. Co się stało? Hudson, 2013.
Nothing was made. Here, where roe deer, black bears, squirrels and boar, full of eyes in front and behind, go running across your bedclothes, where you restlessly pace the length of superstores that look forward to seeing you 24 hours a day, ready to sell you 6 gallons of beer, a 3-pound bag of chips for two, a party box of condoms in the largest size, a Batman costume deceptively similar to the original, and even a nightshirt shaped like a rasher of bacon, where cars as big as combines harvest your dream of escaping into the backwoods along with wild brutes and brutalized people, Where skipping along canals you take the measure of time, successive arousings and settings of the sun. You meet women with tattoos on their irises and souls like Nagasaki following contact with the fat man. Or the latest iPhone, right here, halfway through your life. For you're always halfway through. You suddenly hear the prices freeze, the bellies of fridges and vagrants cease to rumble. Tumours and politicians no longer feel like multiplying the obvious. The dead aren't anxious about their bank balance standing in line for the cashier. Tattoos erupt in the sky, which closes its blind eye to the high jinks of clouds and teenagers in student dorms. The assassin's bullet hangs in midair and is not yet lethal, a thought solidifying between synapses. And right here, poetry appears and forces a stag to bolt in front of the hood of your car, bids an apple break free of its branch, the light to burgeon and burst the shell of the night, a husband to think of his wife while masturbating, airplanes to fly to and ramblers to walk to their goal, God to perform a few miracles, the liar to win another election, the religious poet to write some good verse. Nobody saw it, but without it, nothing was made that was made. And then, as we have a little bit more time, can we just read a few more from the book?
Yeah, sure.
Some of my favourites, just purely out of wanton selfishness.
The middle, yeah. Yeah, I can do it, but it's strongly linguistic poem, and I still don't believe it's really
the translation's right.
Yeah,
that's partly why I chose it, because to tell you a little bit about how you lose things. Okay, is that interesting to know what falls between the cracks?
But perhaps unexpectedly, it would be much better in English than in Polish. So it happens.
I'll tell you what's lost afterwards, but first you can hear it.
For example, the title of my last German collection, it's much better than in Polish. You know, there are so many deeper meanings in this title, and it's only because my translator, so...
Useless.
Łąka. Igła skrzypu. Opada co i róż na starą płytę słońca z dźwiękami natury. Szum wiatru, plusk wody, plus świergot ptaków. Wycieraczki trzcin regularnie rozmazują horyzont. Ryby w przepływie energii pikują w niebo, by wstępnie się rozeznać, dokąd pójdą, popłyną po śmierci. Zlepione ważki przedrzeźniają nasze zabawne ruchy i oblatują stały staw z tym przedstawieniem, wzbudzając gromki rechot. Burza wyładowuje się na nas i poza strachem nic nas już nie łączy, gdy uciekamy z łąki, by nieopodal niepotrzebnie zginąć pod kołami nocy.
I wanted you to hear this one, partly because one of the things I love about translating Tadeusz's poetry is that there are some just incredible, beautiful images that have stayed with me forever and that I think of quite often and just click on. The meadow. Now and then, a horsetail needle lands on the sun's old disc of nature sounds. The whisper of the wind, the splash of water and the twitter of birds. Windshield wiper reeds regularly smear the horizon. In a surge of energy, fishes dive into the sky, then instantly know where they're going, swimming after death. Conjoined dragonflies mimic our comical movements and fly right round the pond with this performance, raising a thunderous cackle. The storm discharges itself on us, and apart from fear, nothing now unites us as we run from the meadow to perish needlessly nearby under the wheels of the night. And what's gone is that wonka, meaning a meadow, also has the root of wonchich, meaning to unite. So there's a game of the pun going on in there, which of course is...
Wonka is meadow, wonka, but łączyć is connecting, and it's pretty the same sound, but totally different roots, different meaning.
And then Sometimes in your poetry you say things to other poets or about other poetry. Mm. There's quite often a conversation going on with Tadeusz Różewicz particularly. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about your relationship with him? He's a very great Polish poet who died recently.
Yeah, he died before a cup of coffee 2 years ago.
We had
a meeting, you know, and unexpectedly he died. Of course, it's usual when you are 95, but I was in a train and he died just before our meeting. So, yeah, that's a, yeah, great poet, classic poet, and I think the best poet after the Second World War for me, the most important guy who discovered totally new language, totally dry, without metaphors, without images. He said that after Holocaust, poetry doesn't exist. He died. Yeah, it died. And he tried to rebuild, to renew the poetry language after this catastrophe, after Holocaust. And this risk was huge because, yeah, the critics, he had at the beginning very bad reviews, but to the end, he was keeping this style. And his last poems are so boring and filled with some quotations from newspapers. Jaki jest wątroba?
Liver.
Liver. He was a liver of pop culture. So taking part
in this
world and showing how the poem can die life. Life. Na bieżąco.
On the go.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was not, you know, escaping to the gallery, to the symphony concerts to get some inspiration. He took a part in this dirty world and his poems were filled with this shit we are surrounded every day.
Well, you've just answered a question for me, which I haven't dared ask you, but I'm going to do it now in public, which is, I saw you just before you were going off to see Różewicz and you were very excited about it. You said, I'm going to see my master, it's wonderful, blah, blah, blah. And then I heard that Różewicz had died, something like the next day. And I was, of course, thinking to myself, was that before Tadek got there or was it after? And did he have anything to do with it? Now I know.
Hopefully not.
The one I was going to ask you to read is... this is on a topic which I think several poets have written, memorably Auden. But
yeah, it was printed in some.
It's amusing.
School books because it's a typical topic. It's about Icarus. Icarus, mythical.
Yeah. Painting of Icarus.
So it was reprinted. It's in some school books in Poland. That's crazy because I don't like this poem
you
so
don't
much.
Like it. You don't have
yeah,
to
but
read
I can read it. Yeah, of course. that's my child, you know. Not very talented, but it's still my child. Latają tu bez przerwy te ikary. Już przestałem zwracać uwagę, mówi oracz, nie odrywając wzroku od gleby, rąk od pługa. Nie lubię tu łowić, bo często włażą w sieć te ikary i trzeba wyplątywać z oczek ręce i nogi, mówi rybak. Wszyscy gadają o tych latających ludziach, to często patrzę w niebo, ale jeszcze nigdy nie widziałem. Zwierza się pasterz. Spisuję ich wypowiedzi przy wejściu do metra i widzę, jako stopień schodów potyka się pijany mężczyzna i leci w dół.
Those Icaruses are always flying about here. I've stopped taking any notice, says the ploughman, without tearing his eyes from the soil, his hands from the plough. I don't like fishing here because those Icaruses often climb into my net and I have to disentangle their arms and legs from the mesh, says the angler. Everyone's on about flying people, so I often gaze into the sky. But I've never seen nothing yet, confesses the shepherd. I write down their statements by the subway entrance, where I see a drunken man tripping at the top of the stairs and flying down. It's good, isn't it? He's very modest about his juvenilia. And then you'll probably tell me that this is another one that you think is far too ancient to read, but I like this very much, and this helped me in certain context in life. So please, would you read this one?
Yeah.
Tell us about
that's
it.
One of my simplest poems. There are no metaphors in it. It's totally transparent. And really, and
Because I still believe that the mystery of the poem doesn't stuck in complicating images and metaphors, but in silence. So that's a poem, perhaps, which is able to bring us to the edge of the silence and language without any linguistic games.
W drugim pokoju leży ojciec, czyta przed snem. Zawsze dawał mi wszystko, czego potrzebowałem. Wydaje mi się, że jestem dla niego dobry. Leżymy w sąsiednich pokojach. Jest cicho. Słychać wodę szemrzącą w koryferach. Mija czas. Cóż więcej mogę zrobić? Tulić go w nieskończoność, powtarzać. Kocham cię, nie sądzę, więc myślę, leżę i myślę o jego starym sercu i malejącej liczbie pisanych mu uderzeń. Tyle miłości, z którą nie ma co zrobić.
Father is lying in the other room, reading before sleep. He has always given me everything I needed. It seems to me I'm good to him. We're lying in adjacent rooms. It's quiet. I can hear water murmuring in the radiators. Time passes. What more can I do? Hug him into infinity? Or keep repeating, I love you? I think not. So I lie here considering his aged heart and the dwindling number of beats that are its destiny. So much love and nothing to do with it. I like that. And then there's another one which, again, on the topic of silence, and I had a lot of difficulty translating this because in Polish you have the word milczenie, which means not just silence, but not saying anything. And reticence isn't exactly the same as that. So I love this poem partly because my original translation was utterly dreadful. And we had a fabulous editor for this collection, Bill Martin, who's a very, very talented translator of poetry indeed. And he and I were editing the book. And I said to him, nah, it doesn't quite work. And he said, what if you do this, 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 and this? It's really his translation, and it's perfect. And it's really my favorite one in the book. So it's very, very short.
Czym różni się milczenie puste od znaczącego, głębokie od płytkiego, jasne od ciemnego? Milczenie celne od milczenia jak kulą w płot? Tobą.
What distinguishes empty silence from meaningful, profound from shallow, bright from dark? Silence on target from silence off key is you. And then just
that's a good that again very short poem, so be relaxed. It's my private advice, how should we read contemporary poetry, including mine? Only eight verses. Do skutku. One. Poezja jest wtedy, gdy czujesz to coś. Czujesz? Two. Jeżeli nie, przeczytaj wiersz ponownie.
Until it works. Poetry is when you feel that something. Feel it? If you don't, read the poem again. If anybody has any questions, would they like to ask us anything? Gentlemen there.
You mentioned a couple of words, the smell of apple and then silence just now. Are there other areas of Polish language that you found very difficult to express in English, where Polish is far richer than our language?
As a translator, the longer you go on, you feel that it would really make far more sense to teach everyone who wants to read the book Polish than to translate it, because there's so much that you feel is being lost along the way that you've kind of been initiated into. You've opened doors into this amazing world. So translation is a frustrating thing. And especially in poetry, you're so conscious of losing the effects that go with sound and the choices of words that the poet has made. But you have to do your best, and you have to, as a translator, make that compromise where you're doing your best to be faithful to the author, but also faithful to your reader, because without the reader, the author can't exist. So I could say, yes, there's all sorts of areas that I find difficult, but I also, my job is to say, well, okay, fine, we live with that, but we find a way to convey that that will work for you as a non-Polish reader. So everything is untranslatable, but also everything is translatable. That's my answer to that.
But last time, Antonia is doing almost reportage, yeah? And I think that's a common space, because my poems, I shouldn't tell it, but it's a kind of reportage of myself.
It's true.
And I was talking to her the last night and the last days about my problem with a new girlfriend. So it's a kind of a reportage. So so you're doing the same stuff with my poetry.
It's true that you are. It's poetry is very often a kind of record of what's happening to you in your life, isn't it? A kind of extremely raw expression of your deepest feelings. So it is a form of reporting, yes. In fact, reportage for a Pole has a slightly different sense. I translate several reportage authors. And in Polish, I don't know if anybody here has read Ryszard Kapuscinski, you may perhaps have heard of, but he spawned a whole school of what I wouldn't call travel writing and I wouldn't call news reporting, but highly literary accounts of perhaps travels, but also what's happening in third countries, not in Poland necessarily. And the people who write this are not, it's not like reading something by one of your familiar BBC reporters. It's very literary, and sometimes to me their work feels like translating poetry, because there's sometimes a sort of apparent simplicity to it that's conveying a huge amount. And that can be very tricky to translate. So, and yes, you're the purely poetic reportage.
Yeah, it's the same trick, you know. Reportage is also kind of fiction, so it's also a mask. So don't take very seriously what I'm talking about my private life, because it's also literature.
Yes, of course. Yeah. would anyone else like to ask anything? So we kind of just about come up. John. That's a question for you, not
for me. Nation.
You said
save the nation.
I don't know the point you mentioned. It was the best half of the war. And Miłosz said.
Miłosz, yeah. No. The poet is not obliged to save anything. I think that poetry is not able to change anything. No, yeah, not political systems. No. Yeah, it can all be a bit charger to make our, to make us more sensitive, but nothing else. It's a kind of bitter pleasure now. I think that in a world when everyone want to, I mean, media, internet, and television want to serve us, to offer us an orgasm, the poetry should be painful. I mean, nowadays, it should destroy a mind. It should be kind of masochism. Yeah, yeah. Art as masochism is the only receipt, you know, to save yourself in a world filled with pop culture and kitschy stuff. So, yeah. So, yeah. It's a hard job, as you know.
I think we're out of time, are we? Yes?
try to see past the lights. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks so much for your...